Educational experts believe that the practices of restraint and seclusion should be used on students only in emergency situations. But Michigan is one of several states that doesn't have laws regulating those practices. However, new legislation has just been introduced to restrict not only the use of restraint and seclusion to emergency situations, but to implement positive behavioral support to reduce the number of difficulties overall in the classroom. The legislation is backed by Lieutenant Governor Calley and would require educators to report when they use restraint and seclusion practices. Joining us in the studio to discuss these bills is Elmo Serrano, the Executive Director of the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Services. Elmer, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And also joining us by phone is the sponsor of one of the bills, State Representative Frank Liberati. Representative Liberati, welcome to Current State.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. And good morning, Elmer.
Good morning.
A pleasure. Mr. Serrano, before we talk about these bills, can you help us understand the current situation in Michigan classrooms? Educators, as I understand it, are allowed to use restraint and seclusion practices in any situation that they see fit. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's exactly the case. The problem is that there are no laws against the use of restraint and seclusion in Michigan schools. And when the behaviors are related to a disability, we're insisting that there should be some indication in the person, in the student's person-centered plan that identifies what the triggers are for those behaviors, how to de-escalate those behaviors, and how to really respond positively, and including the use of positive behavioral supports. What was really alarming to us is that not only is it allowed, there's no reporting requirements at all. And so when we began to look at some of the numbers of the use of restraint seclusion, we found out that we couldn't find out a lot of information, because nothing was reported and parents didn't even know.
Hadn't been recorded, hadn't been noted.
Nothing.
As you said at the very beginning, this is an opportunity to distinguish between students who have some behavioral problems and those who, for medical or for disability reasons, have what appear to be behavioral problems, but related to their status in life.
That's exactly right. And what we're finding is that many of the kids that were just identified as a bad student or a problem student may have had a disability that was not diagnosed or identified, and so they're totally ignored and punished for the behaviors.
Great, thank you. Representative Liberati, when we talk about restraint and seclusion, what exactly do we mean? What does that look like, and can you define more specifically what restraint and seclusion means?
Well, sure. In the most egregious cases, it's anywhere from strapping a student into their chair, with mechanical restraints so that the student cannot move their limbs or get out of the chair. We've had some serious issues in the state with a prone restraint, with the child lying on the ground with an adult on top of them, which has actually resulted in two deaths that I know of in the state. There was one in Kalamazoo a few years back. It was an unsafe way to restrain, not just the fact that you're sitting on top of a child on the floor, but it is definitely unsafe and can cause some serious damage. Up to and including, there are some areas in the state, some schools that actually have padded rooms that they will put a unruly child in and lock the door behind them, basically closets that would be the seclusion part. Now, I do want to let you know that, you know, the proposed legislation does not totally 100% ban emergency restraint and emergency seclusion.
Right. There are times when it is called for and is necessary.
Well, sometimes it's necessary. There are individuals with disabilities that have self-abusive behaviors at times. And, you know, they can be a danger to themselves. And, you know, this definitely does not stop school personnel from protecting the child. It's just under emergency situations. You know, the same thing with some children with disabilities do have aggressive tendencies when they have you could call them meltdowns. And, you know, a lot of times the way those are dealt with is just to put them in that room or restrain them to their chair. And there are much better ways to do that. In an emergency situation, sure, imminent danger needs to be mitigated. You know, you definitely want the staff and the student population to be safe. But as far as a method of behavior control or punishment, that's what this legislation.
This is right. As you wisely point out, this is not the route to go. I'm speaking with Elmer Serrano, the executive director of Michigan Protection and Advocacy Services, and also State Representative Frank Liberati about some new legislation proposed to limit the use of restraint and seclusion in Michigan classrooms. It's interesting because with the increased use of social media, we have seen numerous cases across the country where restraint and what appears to be excessive restraint is being used. Mm-hmm. Is this part of what is propelling the notion that Michigan needs to get on board and at least have a better policy, a better law, and a better reporting system, Mr. Serrano?
Well, yeah, it's some of the problems is that in the school system were no structures around this at all. I mean, there's more protections for people who are incarcerated in the criminal justice system, in the medical community. I mean, you have to really jump through a lot of hoops to restrain somebody. In the school system, there are no protections at all. And I want to reiterate what Representative Liberati had said about a situation where it's an emergency. Because I've had people say that, well, if you have a 300-pound student that is throwing a chair across a cafeteria, you're going to have to intervene. I said, absolutely, you do. But the reality is first of all, if you have to intervene, you have to do it correctly. But the reality is, if this student has a disability that's been identified and they have a individual educational plan, it should be identified in there as to what triggers the behaviors and how do you de-escalate the situation and how do you respond appropriately. The real issue is, how do you avoid these behaviors from occurring in the first place? And so it's it just seems to make sense that this is what we have to do. And you know, when you look at some of the kids, and in Michigan, special education goes from birth to 26, and so you have the full range. And when you have a 4-year-old kid that's being duct taped to their chair, or you have a student in a classroom that is disruptive, the student's disruptive, and so they put a cardboard box over his desk to isolate him, or roll him up in a carpet. This is barbaric. It has to stop.
Representative Liberati, can you talk and share with us a little bit more about some of the specifics of the legislation, including the potential cost of this?
Well, some of the specifics, you know, it is actually a 10-bill package. there are 10 bills from definitions to establishing a school-wide positive behavior support intervention plan for the MDA to develop a state policy establishing that. So, you know, as Elmer said, it's not just a banning this practice in all but emergency situations. There is requirements to find out the antecedent, why is this happening, and this is the proper way to address problem behaviors is you try to find out why, first off, and then what you can do to prevent that trigger from happening again. I mean, it's best practices. There's been lots and lots of research, and it's proven that this is the way to go. So it's not just the banning of it. There's requirements to have a policy. There's requirements for if this happens, the reporting part. As Elmer said, there was no reporting required in the past. So as of today, there's no reporting required, even to the parents. Even to the parents, there's no reporting required.
And Elmer, that's got to be a challenge for you as well, right?
Absolutely.
Pardon me?
And that's got to be a challenge. I was asking Elmer Serrano, with no reporting to parents at all, that's got to be really hard.
Yeah, many parents had no idea. You know, when we tried to figure out what the scope of this was, we found that many parents had no idea until they went unannounced to observe the classroom. Mm-hmm. And they noticed some really horrendous situations. My own agency has looked into schools, and we visit schools all the time. We find, brand new they call them timeout rooms, but seclusion rooms.
Right.
And Representative Liberati said some of them are padded closets. Some of them aren't even padded, and with locked doors. And so the child's put in there with not able to leave, prevented from leaving. And we had one situation where the student actually urinated on himself. And so the next day he was punished for doing that.
Right.
And so, you know, it was just absolutely ridiculous.
It's horrific.
This legislation is absolutely wonderful and timely.
And we really appreciate, Representative Liberati, your
yes.
efforts in this regard. I've had the opportunity to speak with State Representative Frank Liberati and Elmer Serrano, Executive Director of the Michigan Protection and Advocacy Services, talking about new proposed legislation backed by Lieutenant Governor Calley to limit the use of restraint and seclusion in Michigan classrooms. Again, gentlemen, we wish you best of luck on this legislation.
Thank you
It sounds
much.
Like it's very needed.
Thanks.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having us on the show.
You're very welcome.